Good morning, everybody. It's the beginning of a new year, and the Mir Hashem, I hope that we will have a successful and a healthy year of study of Torah here at the Jerusalem College for Adults. A number of announcements. You may notice on the source sheet that you have that this year is referred to as the JCA Doris Park Olah Shalom Memorial Shir. In fact, all the shiurim of this year are going to be in memory of a woman who passed away a number of months ago. She is the mother of a member of my congregation in Harnof, Lizzy Rubin, and she and her husband Dov, Lizzy and Dov, have dedicated the shiurim of this year in memory of Lizzy's mother, who was a woman of grace, dignity, and majesty, and learning will be in her memory. And we'll talk about her later in the year as well. Number two, today is the yahrzeit of a friend, a very close friend, much younger than myself, Avram Silver of Toronto, Olav HaShalom. He was the one who dedicated my shul in Har Nof. Second yahrzeit of an exceptional and outstanding young man who passed away at an early age. And tomorrow night, this shiur will be given in shul in Har Nof, and it will be dedicated to his memory. This morning, that is the yahrzeit itself, so I want to dedicate it to him as well. On a brighter note, I'd like to welcome two people from Toronto. Fran and David Wolf, who are sitting in the back over there. I'd say good friends for a long, long time, and we welcome them to the shiur. Now, I know what has been going through your minds, and I already have heard it expressed in an undercurrent over here. After all these years that we start Parshat Noach, we never get a chance to learn Bereshit. This year, school is starting before Shabbos Bereshit. And if anybody looked at the source sheet, they see something, Machar Chodesh, which is going to be the Haftorah for this coming Shabbat, and because Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. So there are those of you who may very well think that, listen, the man is a coward. Why take a parasha as difficult as Bereshit? You know, the best thing is, you know, just leave Bereshit lying over there and find something else to talk about. So I'll tell you, it's not cowardice, but I'd say that it is weakness. I have a very special love for the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. And the last time I said a shiur on Machar Chodesh, I believe, was last tape in my house is from 1992. So if anybody's going to start telling me that, you know, this shiur wasn't given recently. The only thing is, I have a whole new approach to Machar Chodesh. That's what excites me. As soon as I saw the calendar, and I saw the Bereshit, and I take a look, Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, then Shabbos is Machar Chodesh. And I believe that there are questions that I have on this Haftorah I haven't seen anybody ask. The fact is that I stopped looking a few years ago because I was afraid I'd find somebody who does ask the question. But in all of my experience, nobody has asked the question. And it will be easier for you to understand the question now, because I remember the last time I had this shiur, I didn't have my Xerox machine. So that I had to explain it to the class at the time, but they couldn't see it before their very eyes. But thank God I have a Xerox machine that has made life so much easier for me. I mean, you know, everybody has their own toys, electronic toys. I have my Xerox machine. I can spend hours. I haven't yet gotten to computers and internet and all of the rest, but the Xerox machine. And you're going to see how terribly important it is today. And by the way, if you think it's not related to Parshat Bereshit, I'm going to begin with a very famous medrash. the Medrash says the following. A pasuk in Parashat Bereshit, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam B'yom B'ro Elokim Adam B'dmut Elokim Asato. This is the story, this is the book of the generations of man on the day that God created man. And in the image of God, He made him. Says the Medrash the following. You most probably heard it in different variations over the years. This is the book of the history of man. Says the Medrash Velame, you know what this teaches us? She'e'evir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tnei Adam HaRishon et kol hadorot. That before first man, God showed him all of history, all the generations that are to come on there before him. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. This is the story of all the generations of man. God shows man what's going to happen in history. Had Ehu David, he showed him David. Chayov Chakukim Lo Shalosh Shalot. And he showed him that David has been granted 3 hours of life. That's it. Amal Fanov, so Adam said to God, is there no way to correct this? That David will have only 3 hours of life? Amar said, God, kach oltar machshavu lefanai. This is the way I planned it. Amar lo, so Adam said to God, kamosh nei chayai. How many years do I have to live? Amalo, so he said to him, Elef Shanim, you have 1,000 years. Amalo, Adam said to God, Yeshma Tono Barakiya? In heaven, is it possible for heaven to give gifts? Is there a way to give a gift? Amalo, so God said, Hey, yes. Amalo said Adam to God, Shivim Shonam Ishnotai Yiyul Mazal Zeh. I want to donate 70 years of my life to that David. Now also Adam, what did Adam do? He took a brought a piece of paper, wrote out a document. The and he wrote out clearly, in other words, most probably in triplicate, and then God asked him, do you have a chotemet? And of course, what's necessary is you have to staple it a few times to make it a really valid document. He brought a document and he wrote out that he gives 70 years of his life to David. The Chatam Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu signed on it. Matatron, one of the Malachim, I imagine representing the celestial beings, the Adam and Adam. Those were the three that signed on that document. Amar Adam. Adam said, Rebbeinu Shalom, Zu, this kingdom that will come from David, Yofid Zu, this beauty, Malchut Uzmirot Halalu, the kingdom and these songs, I give him a gift, 70 years. That he should live and that he should sing before you. And that's the meaning of a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, behold, I have come, b'migilat sefer katuv alai, with a document that is written about me. This is the document of Adam HaRishon. David lives because of Adam. But more than that, Chachmei Yisrael say that the name Adam stands for Adam, David, Mashiach. Which in a real sense, what the Medrash is telling us over here is that with the creation of man, God has a plan for all of history. It may look as though the world is going nowhere, or it may look as though the world is going down and deteriorating, but you should know that from the very moment of its creation, there was a plan. And the way stations in this plan, Adam, David, and ultimately Moshiach. It means, therefore, that David and Moshiach are given life by the very first man at the moment of creation. So therefore, if you wonder why I have such a love for Mochar Chodesh, you're going to see that in a moment. Mochar Chodesh is the story of David, and I would say it's the story of David and Mashiach. and I have a problem with Malchut Chodesh, and I'm going to share that problem with you. First of all, the whole idea is strange. You have a Haftorah because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. I mean, you don't have a Haftorah because tomorrow is Sukkot or because tomorrow is Shavuos. A Haftorah because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. I can understand that Rosh Chodesh itself is a mini Yontif, and we'll see that in a moment. Rosh Chodesh is a mini Yontif. And we've talked about Rosh Chodesh often in the past, but we're going to add something today. Rosh Chodesh is a Yontif. In fact, we're going to see that there are going to be three Haftarot that are related to Rosh Chodesh. If Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, so there's the Haftorah for Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, which is the last chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu. I better remember to get back to this at the end. You know, I don't trust my memory. So somebody here says, if I told you, owe us an explanation. There's another Haftorah that is related to Rosh Chodesh, and that is the Haftorah of Parashat HaChodesh. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan occurs on Shabbat, or the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's called Shabbat HaChodesh, the last of the four special Shabbatot, beginning with Shkalim, Zachor, Torah, and HaChodesh, leading up to Pesach. The next great Shabbos after that is going to be Shabbos HaGadol. On Parshat HaChodesh, we read part of chapter 45 in Sefer Yechezkel. So we have a Haftorah for Shabbos that is Rosh Chodesh. We have a Haftorah for Parshat HaChodesh before the month of Nisan, or on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then we have this unusual Machar Chodesh. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. And so what? I mean, we're all in favor of Rosh Chodesh. By the way, how much in favor of Rosh Chodesh you should be? I think women should especially be in favor of Rosh Chodesh. If you'll turn over your source sheets to the other side, and you look at the left-hand side of the page, you're going to see a Rashi in Masechet Megillah. The Rashi says the following, I'll read through it quickly. Rashi Chodashim. Ein bo bitul melacha kol kach. The Gemara says, the Gemara is saying that on a normal Monday or Thursday in Shul, three people are called to the Torah. On Rosh Chodesh, four people are called to the Torah. Why four people? Because on Rosh Chodesh, people are just not that much in a hurry, because it seems the minhag was not to work the way one would work on any other normal day of the week. But we don't have five or seven aliyot, because ein bo bitul melacha kol kach, by adding an extra aliyah, it's not stopping people from going to work. So there'll be one more aliyah. She'ein hanashim osot melacha, because women don't do melacha on, they don't do work on Rosh Chodesh. V'hachinami aminu lemasechet Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't mean they don't do work at all. I don't want anybody to go home and say that, well, you know, this is a day off. Because there's a minute that women should not do malach on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Gabi Masuot, Mishum bitu malach ala'am shneyam. Vishamati, this is the part I wanted to listen to. Vishamati, Rashi says that I heard from my Rebbe, Pimori Hazakezal, Shenitno lehen mitzvah zu, women were given this mitzvah of not working on Rosh Chodesh, Bishvil shelo pirku nizmehen be'egel, because they didn't take off their jewelry for the egel when there was a when they were collecting gems and jewels and gold and silver to make the golden calf. The women refused to give. So now you might assume that the women refused to give because, as you know, it's my jewelry, I don't want to give away my jewelry. But they gave their jewelry when there was a collection for the Mishkan, then they gave their jewelry. Which means the fact that they didn't give their jewelry for the egel is, you want to go make yourself a silly egel over there? So I have to support the silly egel. And then Rashi goes on to say, in addition to the Rashi, Vani Matsapi, the Perek Memhei, the Brighton, the Rebbe Eliezer, I heard, I found in Pirkei, the Rebbe Eliezer, Shonwan Oshim, The women heard the call for donations, and they didn't want to give their rings and their jewelry to their husbands. They said to their husbands, you want to make a graven image and an idol that has no power to save us. Ah, we don't want to get it. The women demonstrated their fierce independence. And of course, talking about intellect and good common sense. The Natana Kodesh Baruch Hu Scharan Shel Nashim Ba'olam Hazeh, so God gave women their reward in this world. She Mishando Kadosh 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 Yoter Min Ha'anashim, more than the men. Olam Abba, and in Olam Abba, Hein Ha'atidot Lidchadesh Kmo Rosh Kadosh, they're going to be renewed and rejuvenated just like Rosh Kadosh. Shenema Titchadesh Kanefshe Nuraichi. In other words, in a sense, there will be a return to youth of women because of the schus of Rosh Chodesh. Umikro Messiah. And there's a pasuk that assists us and proves to us that it was a day it didn't work. And it's going to be in this Haftorah of Marcha Chodesh, because in this Haftorah it says, Asher Nistart Hashem B'yom HaMaaseh, I want you to go hide in the place where you hid yourself on the day of work. The day of work is distinct from tomorrow, which is Rosh Chodesh, which therefore means that Rosh Chodesh is not a day of work. The Tirgim Yonatan, Yonatan said, "Biyom v'dechola, a day that is chol." Ba'atam nami gabi Rosh Chodesh koi. There it's talking in Macha Chodesh. It's talking about Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara, because it says Macha Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. The Kodesh Leila Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh is called Yom HaMaaseh, the day of work. By the way, you can't say it about this Erev Rosh Chodesh coming on Parashat Bereishis, because it's Shabbos. All right, we'll see. Alnus of hearing Sir Rosh Chodesh Lav Yom HaMaaseh Rosh Chodesh is not a day of work. All right, that's all we need. Back to Marcha Chodesh. What is it that excites me about Marcha Chodesh? So first of all, we now have, let's just sum up as we go on. We have question number one is, why is there a Haftorah? Because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. We don't have any Haftorah like that at any time. A Haftorah, by the way, is always related to the Maftir, the last Aliyah. Now, on Rosh Chodesh, we take out two Sifrei Torah, and in the second Sefer Torah, you read about Rosh Chodesh. So the Haftorah related to the second Torah reading, and that's why all Yom Tov do the same thing. There's a second Sefer Torah, and the Haftorah is always related to the second reading. But on Erev Rosh Chodesh, there is no such thing. It's going to be a plain Shabbos Bereishis this coming Shabbos. But we're going to say a Haftorah about tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. That's question one. Why? Question number two is, well, why these three Haftorah, the Haftorah of tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, the Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, last chapter in Yeshayahu, the Haftorah of Parshat HaChodesh, which is the Shabbos before or the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is in Sefer Yechezkel. And here comes the big question of them all. The one that I say I haven't found anybody who asks the question. And this is what makes makes it very fascinating to me. Sheep, front side of the sheep. On the front side of the sheep, we have chapter 20. It's chapter 20 in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. The Haftorah of Machar Chodesh begins the second pasuk that's on the line in the right hand side. In the right hand side, you'll see down toward the bottom of the page, pasuk 18, it's underlined. Vayomalo Yehonatan. Yehonatan said to him, Machar Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. V'nifkadeta, he's saying to David, you will be missed. Ki yitokeid moshavecha, because your seat is going to be empty. You're going to be chaser, David. That's what's going to happen with you, because you're not going to be there. Right? That's where the Haftorah begins. And it ends at the end of that chapter, which is the column on the left-hand side. That's it. So it's part of chapter 20. It begins with Pasuk 18 in chapter 20, and it goes to Pasuk 42, the last Pasuk in the chapter. So I have the great question. But I'm going to start with a silly question, or what you may think is a silly question. Why do we read Malchach Chodesh on Erev Rosh Chodesh? Is there anybody who has guts enough to want to answer that question? Why do we read Malchach Chodesh? You're very smart. You're very smart. Don't fall into my trap. You're thinking to yourself, of course, it's obvious, because here we have a pasuk that says, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Isn't that cute? That's so cute. We have a pasuk in Tanakh where Yonatan says to David, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Isn't that a beautiful thing to read on Erev Rosh Chodesh? Maybe. If we understand it, maybe. So what's my great question? My great question is, 13 psukim earlier in that same chapter, the first sentences that are underlined on the right-hand side of the page. Vayomer David el Yehonatan. David said to Yehonatan, Hinei Chodesh Machar. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. If the reason why the Haftorah of Malchach Chodesh is chosen is because it says that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, why didn't the Haftorah start 13 psukim earlier? Why doesn't it start by the first pasuk in all of Tanakh that describes Erev Rosh Chodesh by saying tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh? Wouldn't it have been beautiful to start the Haftorah there? And more than that, if the Haftorah would have started 13 psukim earlier, then we would have had in the Haftorah the two psukim in all of Tanakh that describe tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Why didn't they do that? Why didn't our rabbis start? By the way, our rabbis knew all of Tanakh. They knew all of Tanakh. They knew the existence of that pasuk. By the way, the Haftorah is known as Machar Chodesh. It's not known as Chodesh Machar. Why didn't the Torah start 13 psukim earlier? That's a very good question. Not only because it's mine and because I like it, it's so obvious that it's a good question. It's a great question. Even if we never get to an answer, there is one thing that must become immediately obvious, and this is important for all of Torah. The choice of a Haftorah is not simply made on the basis of a cute or an apt verbal theme. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. I find a pasuk in Tanakh that says tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Wow, what a beautiful thing. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. It says tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. If a Haftorah would be chosen merely by virtue of the fact that there's such a simple relationship between either parsha or day and the Haftorah, then they should have started by Hinei Chodesh Machar. In other words, you should always know, never settle, if you study a Haftorah, never ever settle for the superficial the connection between the Haftorah and the parasha that comes to mind immediately. As soon as you read the Haftorah, the parasha is Lech Lecha. I don't know, maybe the Haftorah mentions Avram in the Seder, Avram in the Haftorah. Great! We have a beautiful Haftorah. There is always a tremendous amount of depth to the choice. When our rabbis chose a Haftorah, they chose it with such depth and understanding. And the classic proof, I say, is the Haftorah of Malchach Chodesh. If it was nothing more than the cute relationship of words, wow, here we have a Haftorah that says that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, it should have started 13 psukim earlier. If it didn't start 13 psukim earlier, do you know what that means? That our rabbis came to that first pasuk and they made a conscious decision, no, we are not going to begin the Haftorah here. Do you know we're going to begin the Haftorah? We're going to begin at 13 psukim later. The next step in order to understand what's happening over here, and it will have great significance for Parashat Bereishit, for that matter, for Jewish history. But let's see what the Haftarah is all about. I'm going to try and do a quick review of the Haftarah, or really the chapter 20. At the outset of chapter 20, David is fleeing from before the wrath of Shaul. Shaul is his father-in-law. Shaul wants to kill David. David had fled to his home, and his wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, has let David out of a window so that he should escape. Where does he flee to? He flees to Nayot Ramah. Nayot Ramah is where Shmuel is. He goes to the Navi Shmuel. Shmuel is the one, of course, who had anointed both Shaul and David. Nobody knows yet that David has been anointed to be the next king of Israel. The only one who knows it is Shmuel and David and the members of David's immediate family in whose presence he has been anointed. David is fleeing for his life. At the beginning of this chapter, Shmuel had heard that David is in Nayot Ramah meeting with Shmuel. So Shaul goes to Nayot Ramah with the intent of killing David. He arrives there, and he begins to say prophecy. He's overwhelmed with the spirit of prophecy, and he forgets completely about his intent to kill David. By the way, what's very fascinating is not only is David's life in danger for years because of Shaul, he nearly didn't have life to begin with. That life, and you know, I would imagine if David would have known the Medrash that we know, if he would have known the Medrash, then he would have known that he's been given 70 years. He's been given them by Allah. But David has to flee now from Nayot Ramah, the beginning of the chapter, by Yimrah. David, you better follow me. And David fled from Nayot Ramah, and he came and he said to Yonatan, Ma'asiti, what have I done? Ma'avoni, what is my sin? Mechatati, what is my eros? Ne'avicha, ki mevakeshet nafshi, your father, Yonatan, your father, Shaul, seeks my life. By Yomalo, Yonatan says, Chalila lo tomut, God forbid, you're not going to die. He may lo yasel vi davar gadol davar katan. My father will not do that. Lo is supposed to be understood as a loy metan aleph. My father will not do anything big or small. Velo yiglet oznim. He's not going to let me know. Umadua yastir avim imeni et hadavar hazeh. Why should my father conceal something of this sort from me? He's not going to tell me, his trusted son, that he plans on killing. It can't be. Ainzel. It can't be. By Yishova o David by Yomer. David swore and he said, Yadoa yada avicha, your father knows, ki matzati chen beinecha, that I found favor in your eyes. Vayom, and he said, Ayed azot Yonatan, let not Yonatan know this, pen ye atzev, lest he will be depressed. David tells tells Yonatan, your father doesn't want you to know because he knows how deeply it's going to hurt you. V'ulam chay Hashem b'chay mashach, I swear by God, and I swear by your life, ki kefesa, Beini ubein hamavet. There's one step that separates between me and death. Vayomer Yonatan ol David. Yonatan said to David, Matomar nafshecha. Whatever your soul says, which means whatever is your will, whatever you want, ve'eselach, I will do for you. Vayomer David el Yonatan. David said to Yonatan, this is the pasuk that I asked should have been the beginning of the Haftarah, but it is not. David said to Yonatan, Hine, behold, Chodesh Machat, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, V'anochi Yoshov, Eishen, and Amelech, and I usually sit with the king, Lechol, to eat. They used to have a Suda on Rosh Chodesh. We see that from this chapter. We see the significance. It was a day of Yontif. It was a day that families got together. And by the way, there have been, over the years, recommendations of this sort made in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a Sunday. By the way, if we make Rosh Chodesh like a day off like Sunday, so this Rosh Chodesh would be Yotze both, you understand? It could be a Sunday and a Rosh Chodesh. No, you know, we know what happens in this country when it's an election day that everybody is off the country celebrates, everybody's out making mandalas until you get the election results, or on Yom Ha'atzmaut, on Yom Ha'atzmaut. No, we need a day off. Families need a day off. So there was once a suggestion, and maybe it should be a suggestion, certainly the Rosh HaMenshala Shel Kulam, Prime Minister of all people, would certainly want to make, I think it would be a beautiful addition to the calendar in the event that Rosh Chodesh would be a full day off or a partial day off, so there'd be 12 days during, not even 12 because Rosh Hashanah won't count, Rosh Hashanah won't count, but you know,
it's 2 days Rosh Chodesh though.
If there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, then we'd have to send it to a Knesset committee. It'll be lost there until Mashiach comes. But no, only one day off. Anyway, here, David says to Yonatan, Hinei Chodesh Machov, Anoch Yashov, Eishiva Memelech, and I usually would sit with the king, Lechol, to eat, Yishilachtani. Send me away, Vinistarti Basodeh Ad Erev Ashlishit. I will hide in the field until the third evening. It may, here is also something very fascinating. It means, therefore, that they may have known that there were going to be 2 days Rosh Chodesh, because not only did they make Rosh Chodesh by virtue of the moon, but they also had, they knew the calculations, and that it would have to be a 2 day Rosh Chodesh. In Pakod Yifkedeni Avicha, if your father, the word Pakod Yifkedeni can have two meanings. It can mean either if your father will remember me, and the word Pakod also means if I will be missed. By the way, you're missed when you're remembered. So the word pakod has both meanings, and it has a number of other meanings. Pakod is one of those unusual words. It means to count, it means to be appointed, it means to lead. And they're all related to one another. That's not the thing. In Pakod Yifkedeni Avicha, if your father is going to remember me, V'amarta, you should say, Nishol Nishal Mimeni David Lavud Beit Lechem Ido. David asks of me if he can run into his city, Beit Lechem, Ki Zevach Hayamim Sham L'Chalach Mishpacha. There is a sacrifice for the whole family. You see also, Rosh Chodesh was a day on which, if there would be a family gathering, we would have done on Rosh Chodesh. I'm not going to get into another issue over here, which is a fascinating one. Maybe we'll do it later on during the year. This is one of those places where people are lying. David is telling Yonatan to lie. Right? So I'm just saying that it's an issue that's dealt with by the Mefarshim, and there are a few other places. By the way, this is not the only lie about Beit Lechem. When God appears to Shmuel and he tells him, go to Beit Lechem and anoint one of the children of Yishai to be king. So Shmuel turns to God and he says, how can I do it? V'shama sho'ol sho'ol will hear that he'll find out somehow v'harogami and he will kill me. So God tells Shmuel, you hear? The Rebbe Shmuel tells Shmuel, you know what? Tell them that you're going to Beit Lechem to bring the sacrifice. The one who's telling him the lie, and by the way, that lie also has to do with Beit Lechem and a sacrifice and David. I'm just going to leave these things for you to think about yourself and make your own connections. I'll never get out of the shir if I do all of that. Anyway, so he says, I'm going to go hide, and you'll tell your father that I asked permission to run to Beit Lechem to be part of the family gathering. In Kod Omar, if the king is going to say Tov, good. Yeah, that's fine, that's nice. Shalom la'avdecha, then there's peace to your servant. Ah, v'im choro yecharalo, and if he will become very angry, dog, you should know, ki kol tohar ra'am ne'imo. He has decided to bring the evil. He wants to destroy you. V'asita chesed la'avdecha, you should do kindness with your servant. Ki v'bidit Hashem heveti et avdecha, heveti et avdecha imam. The two of us, you and me, we have made a covenant, a treaty between us. If there is any sin in me, you put me to death. Why should you bring me to your father? So Yonatan says, Chalil Allah, God forbid. If I will know that the evil is to come upon you from my father, I'm not going to tell you. By the way, I just want to throw in something else that I will not be able to elaborate on, but I think it's terribly important that there's a certain style in this chapter that keeps repeating itself over and over again. And this style should already be a hint to us that what's taking place is not something limited to that moment, to that time, and that place, but it has consequences and meaning far beyond that time. And watch, I'll show you where it begins. In Pasuk 8, Yomet David El Yonatan, Hinei Chodesh Machor, Varnachu, Yashov Eishev in Amelech. You see the double Yashov Eishev? What's wrong with Yashov alone? What are you Yashov Eishevin me? What do I need this for? In the next Pasuk, David says, Im Pakod Yifkideni. Why can't you simply say, Im Yifkideni Adi? Pakod Yifkideni. And you know what you should say if my father is going to remember me? Nish'ol Nish'alti. Why can't you talk simple talk? Shalti, I asked permission to go to Bethlehem. And then, in the next Pasuk 10, if he's going to say good, Shalom Abecha, Vim Choro Yecherah, Lo, Choro Yecherah, what would be wrong in Yecherah, Lo? And what happens in Choro Yecherah? Okay? In Pasuk 9, Bar Yom Yomatam Chalilach Ki Im Yadoa Eda, Nachamo, Yadoa Eda. Why don't you talk straight? You know why they're not talking straight? Because this has meaning and significance not only for this time and place. There is a sort of a present and a future involved over here. It's not so simple. Big things are happening. Yodoa Eda. By Yonah Yonatan of David, so Yonah sent to David the Chodin, he'd say, I saw the garden to the field. By Yetu Shneem, I saw they both went out into the field. By Yonah Yonatan of David, I will question my father between now and the third day, being a total David, if it's good for David, I won't send to let you know. If it's going to be good in my father's eyes to bring evil upon you, I will reveal it to you. The Shilach. Ticha will send you away for halachta l'shalom, and you will go in peace. The Hashem, your God, will be with you, kasher ha'yon avi, as he was with my father. And he goes on to talk about the relationship between the two, and we have a covenant, and we love one another. I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. Okay. Pasuk 18. This is the beginning of the Haftarah. Vayom alo Yehonatan, machar chodesh. Vinifkadita, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, Vinifkadita, ki pakeid Moshe Lecha, because your place is going to be missing. It's going to be empty. So he tells him that he wants him to go off and hide in the field. And then when he comes out into the field on the third day after he knows what the story is, he's going to start shooting arrows, and he's going to tell the boy who picks up the arrows to get them for him. And they make up a sign, you know, something like, one if by land, two if by sea. I mean, that's on the, only Americans who know about Paul Revere would know about that signal. If I say that to the boy that the arrows are before you, everything is fine. You can come out. If I say to the boy the arrows are after you and beyond you, then you know that you're going to have to, you're going to have to flee. The end of the story, I believe, is known. Let's go on to the top of another few psukim at the top of Talon. Let's hand Talon. Vayisater David basader, David hid in the field. Vayachodesh, Rosh Chodesh came. Vayeshev hamelech alalechem lechol, and the king sat down to eat. Vayeshev hamelech al moshav okefan b'fan, the king sat in his seat as he always did. El moshav hakir, the seat with the back against the wall. By the way, most probably he sat there because he didn't want to be afraid of anybody coming from behind him. Shaul, unfortunately, has become a very frightened individual. Vayakum Yonatan, Yonatan got up by Yeshit, and Avner Mitzad Shaul, Avner sat next to Shaul, and Takeid Makom David. On the other side of Shaul was where David should have sat, and that seat was empty. Velo Diber Shaul, Nuhuma Vayaru, Shaul said nothing on that day, Ki Yomar, because he assumed, Mikrehu, something has happened, Bilti Tahoru, Ki Lo Tahor, maybe he is not spiritually clean, he has to go to the mikveh, he has to go to a process of tar. David's place is empty. Shaul says to his son Yonatan, this is going to be very important. Why hasn't Ben Yishai, the son of Yishai, come tomorrow? Yesterday didn't come, today didn't come. Yonatan and Shaul, Yonatan answers Shaul, and here we go back to Mishal. David made him Madiyat Beit Lehem. David asked of me to go till Beit Lehem. And he said, Shalchen, you know, please send me, Kizarach Mishpacha, we have a family gathering. My brother commanded me to come to Atom, and Sati, Chen, Beinecho, Imotama, now flee away, Vereta, Chayin, I will see my brothers. Out came Oval, Shulchan, Amalach, that's why he didn't come to the king's table. And Shaul got angry with Yonatan, and they called him Ben Na'avat HaMardot. I'm not sure how to translate it, but it just sounds bad. It sounds very bad. A rebellious son. Hello, Yadati, I know, Kipocher, Atal, Ben Yishai, you choose Ben Yishai, Levashtecha, Ulevoshet, Ergat, Imecha. For your shame and the shame of your mother. Kicholayanim, I said, Ben Yishai, Chai, as long as Ben Yishai is alive, Halav Adam, on this earth. Loti, Kona, Tol, Malkutehu, your kingdom. You and your kingdom will never be established. Now Shlach the Kachotot, go send him, bring him a light to Miki Ben Mavetu. Ben Mavetu, he's going to be put to death. There's a continuing exchange of words. Yonatan gets up from the table. He's upset and he's angry, and he leaves the table. All right. I think at this point we know as much. As we need to know, in order now to approach an understanding of Malchut Chodesh. First of all, let's make a comparison between the two statements, or better said, the two psukim, Pasuk 5 and Pasuk 18, the two psukim that are underlined. Pasuk 5, Vayomer David el Yonatan, Hinei Chodesh Machar. We'll take just that part of the pasuk now. Vayomer David el Yonatan, David said to Yonatan, Hinei, behold, Chodesh Machar, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Pasuk 18, which is the beginning of that Torah, Vayomer lo Yonatan, Yonatan said to him, Machar, Chodesh. Let's take these two half psukim and let's compare. What is the difference between these two half psukim? Go ahead, let's hear one.
First one is Chodesh Machar, and the second one is Machar Chodesh.
Correct. First one says Chodesh and then Machar. Second one is Machar and then Chodesh. There are a number of other differences. In the first case, it's David speaking. In the second case, it's Yonatan speaking. Third difference, David says, Hinei, behold, Chodesh Machar. Yonatan does not say, Hinei, Machar, Chodesh. Maybe what is more significant than all is that in Pasuk 18, David's name does not appear. He is referred to by the pronoun Vayomer Lo, he said to him. By the way, if you wouldn't have heard this shiur, and you come into shul, and you hear them say Vayomer Lo, he's talking to. You know what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The whole first part of the Haftarah, you don't know who it's talking about. It's only because the Pasuk reveals to us at the beginning of the left hand column, the Pasuk reveals to us that David hid in the field. By the way, David is not even going to be referred to by name afterwards. You know what he's going to be referred to? Ben Yishai. Ben Yishai. I'm going someplace. So we have these differences. In Pasuk 5, David's name appears. In Pasuk 5, his name appears. In Pasuk 5, he says, Hine, behold. What does Hine always mean? Always. Surprise. There are so many examples. The one that comes to mind, Yitzchak. Yitzchak says to his father as they're going to the Akedah, Hine ha'esh v'ha'etim v'ha'yeh ha'sel olav. Hold! There's wood and there's fire, but where's the seh? Surprise! Something's going on. Later on, when the Malach tells Avram, no, don't stretch your hand out against the child. V'hine ayil achar ne'achaz basvar b'kanav. Behold, there's a ram that's caught in the underbrush. All right. It's a different word. At the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu dreams. V'hinei sulam mutzav arzo v'roshem agi ashma. V'hinei malachei elokim olin yardimo. V'hinei elokim nitzav olav. It keeps repeating itself. Behold, there's a ladder going up to the heaven. Behold, there are angels going up and down the ladder. Behold, God is standing over. Hinei always means some big surprise. So David says, Hinei, behold. Alright? Jonathan does not say that. What's the difference between Chodesh Machar and Machar Chodesh? General rule throughout all of Tanakh. Whatever is most significant, whenever you have two words, whatever is most significant comes first. If you say Chodesh Machar, it's the Chodesh. Whatever that may mean, that's extremely significant. And just as a matter of fact, you should know that it's Machar, tomorrow. When you say Machar, that means the emphasis is on the tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh. It'll be a big difference. It will be a difference day and night between Hine Chodesh Machar and Machar Chodesh. What is the difference between the two? What's happening over here is Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of the house of David, is in one of the most precarious situations of all of history. Do you know what's happening over here? If things go wrong, Malchut Beis David is going to be stillborn. It will never come into being. There will never be light for Malchus Beis David. If Shaul succeeds in destroying David, then it's all over. Stillborn. Never came into being. Some years ago, we said, in the name of God Soloveitchik, that there's a great difference between Rachel and Leah. The difference between Rachel and Leah is the following. Rachel is the great enabler. Rachel paves the way for her sister Leah. Rachel never enjoys the fruit of all of her labors. Rachel is getting ready to go to the chuppah with her beloved and her intended. Do you know what she ends up doing? She cannot permit her daughter, her sister, to go to the chuppah and be embarrassed in such way. So the simon and the signs that she had made with Yaakov, she gives to Leah. All of the preparation for the chasana, all the years of waiting and longing, and she ends up preparing the way for her sister Leah. It's going to be like that throughout all of history. There are two people who have a claim to Malchus, to kingdom by Klal Yisrael. Yosef and David. And ultimately, of course, there's going to be a Moshiach ben Yosef, and there will be a Moshiach ben David. But you know what Yosef is? Yosef is the one who paves the way for the kingdom of Yehuda. Yehuda will be Melech. It's not going to be Yosef. It's going to come from the house of David, not from Ephraim, not from Menashe, not from Binyamin. Shaul from Binyamin, from the house of Rachel, is the one who paves the way for Malchus Beis David. a people that never had a king. They're in Eretz Yisrael for 350 years and never had a king. So first of all, the idea of rallying a people around the idea of a king is a tremendous accomplishment. That accomplishment is going to be made by Shaul, but he's going to be paving the way for David. Leah is always paving the way. Rachel is always paving the way for Leah. And Leah is the one that's going to reap the benefits. Reap the benefits of it all. For that matter, isn't the Rachel who cries above her grave, who cries for her children, isn't she the one who's preparing the way for the children to return home? And when the children return home, ultimately, the great day will come, the kingdom will again be returned to David. What's happening over here is that there are two views of history. One is David's and one is Yonatan's. David's view is, I would say that David is overwhelmed with a sense of great things that are about to happen. Hine, behold, Chodesh Machar. By him the stress is new and great things are happening. And when will it be? It'll be tomorrow. The Gemara says, Yesh Machar, there is a Machar that is immediate, a tomorrow that's an immediate. V'yesh Machar la'achar zman, and there is a Machar that comes much later on in history. In other words, for example, when it says, we say in the Haggadah, V'hoya ki yish'olcha bincha machar lema, when your son is going to ask you tomorrow, saying, what's all of this? Does it mean tomorrow? Today's Tuesday, it'll be on Wednesday. Machar means that it will be sometime in history when your children will ask. V'hoya ki yish'olcha bincha machar. Machar can mean, well, who knows when in history? David knows something that Yonatan doesn't know. Do you know what David knows? David knows that he's been anointed king by Shmuel. Yonatan doesn't know it. David, therefore, can possibly live with the hope that, behold, the Chodesh, when Chodesh comes first before Machar, it means big things are happening. A Rosh Chodesh. A new dawn for Klal Yisrael. And it's Machar. The Haftorah begins with a completely different pasuk. The Haftorah begins with pasuk 18. Because you know what happens in pasuk 18? It's not the son of Leah who is speaking in pasuk 18. It's the son of Rachel who is speaking in pasuk 18. And do you know what Yonatan is going to be doing? Exactly what his father did. Exactly what his Bubba did. He's going to be paving the way for the kingdom of the house of God. However, in the process of paving the way, you have to remember that David may have to remain in concealment for a while. We look forward to great days. There's great anticipation, but there also has to be great patience. Vayomer, Yonatan is the realist, David is the great idealist. Vayomer lo, therefore in the Haftorah itself, David hardly appears by name. If you take a look at the first half of this chapter, Vayomer Yonatan al David, Vayomer David al Yonatan, Vayomer Yonatan al David, Vayomer David al Yonatan. It's always David and Yonatan, Yonatan and David. First time that all of a sudden David's name disappears is in Pasuk 18, Vayomer lo, and he said to him, David becomes low to him. He becomes Ben Yishai. There's something about him that is being concealed. Yonatan is the one who has to pave the way. You're going to have to wait, David. There's a Machar. There's a tomorrow. And I don't know when that tomorrow is going to be. I don't know how long that tomorrow is going to be. And only after the Machar will come the Chodesh. Only after that. And we have to lay the groundwork well. Yonatan is the realist. David is the idealist. The question is, well, we've shown the difference between Vayomer lo, Vayomer David el Yonatan, Machar, Hinei Chodesh Machar, and Vayomer lo Yonatan Machar Chodesh, and we describe Vayomer lo Yonatan Machar Chodesh as being realism. And I think that that's what Chazal wanted us to know. That there may very well be periods of darkness, there may be periods during which it will seem that all of Jewish history has come to an end and has receded from the scene of world history, but never lose faith. And then I found an unbelievable Rabbeinu Bechaya. It's the other side of the page. And I found this. Don't get frightened. We don't have to learn the whole thing. Every part of it, whatever part of it we learn, is amazing. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is really based on a Chavetz Chaim. You'll see. You'll get the point. You'll see. There are two children, twins, that are born to Yehuda and Tamar. One is called Zerach, and the other is called Perez. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya. Zerach is al shem hachama. Zerach represents the moon, the sun shines. Peretz al shem halavana. Peretz is because of the moon. Umalchus beis David bami Peretz shehu kineged halavana. The kingdom of the house of David comes from Peretz, which is corresponds to moon. What is the comparison to moon? So wait. V'yadua ki yemot halavana chavtet yom. The days of a lunar month are 29 days. Thou came, therefore, first of all, he says, you will find Timsoni Perez, Bet Yehuda, at Tzidkiyo, Chav Tet Ish. From Perez until Tzidkiyo, the last king of Malchus Beis David, the one in whose days the Bet HaMikdash is destroyed, a total of 29 days. 29 days. Let me give you the where I'm ultimately going to come to. Do you know what it means if tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh? Do you know what today is? The last day of the month. What happens if it's the last day of the month? What happens to the moon on the last day of the month? It's concealed. There is darkness. That's why we read Machar Chodesh when Shabbos is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Because that Shabbos is the 29th day. And that Shabbos therefore represents either the moon is no longer visible, or very soon during the course of Shabbos it will no longer be visible. Darkness will descend. So is all hope gone? Oh no! Machar Chodesh! Wait a minute, hang in over there. Malchus Beis David comes from Peretz. Peretz is the moon. The moon will be pervaded, it will break out again. Never lose hope. The purpose of the Haftorah, I believe, is to tell Klal Yisrael, number one, don't think that all the great things are happening immediately. You have to have patience. But in addition to patience, you also have to understand that it's going to happen. It's built into the system of Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David is the lunar month. The lunar month is 29 days. 29 people from Peretz until Tzidkiyo. And he's going to tell you, Ketzad, Peretz, Chetzron, Ram, Aminodab, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Boaz, Obed, Yishai. All of these names appear where? The last few psukim in Rut. When Obed is born to Rut, so they give you all of the generations, beginning with Peretz, Chetzron, Ram, Aminodab, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Yishai, David, Nimtzo, David, Asidi, the Peretz, David is the 10th one from Peretz. Me David ad Yehoyachin. From David until Yehoyachin, you will find your test 19 kings. Kulam Melech ben Melech ve'eluhain. Shlomo lechavam Adiyo Aso Yoshafat. He had the kings of Yehuda: Yehoram, Achazio, Yoash, Amatzio, Uziyahu, Yotam, Achazu, Chesdiyo, Menashe, Amon, Yoshio, Yehoachaz, Yehoyachin, Yehoyachin, Tzidkiyo. Heim Chav Test Ish. 29 people kineged Yemer Palavana. They correspond to the days of the lunar month. And just as the moon disappears, it sets. After 29 days, King Malchut Beit David Nisika v'charav hamikdash b'mei tzidkiyo shehu chavtet v'peretz. 29th king, the 29th one to Peretz, 19th king, it's all over. Goes on to say further. Aval, we'll take a little bit more of the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Aber der Midrash bei Hillel Shemot Rava, Sidru Chesh bin Zed bin Yenacha, the Midrash of Shemot Rava has a different order. Vuhu, Shekinu Yemot Halavona betosefet uprat. This is very fascinating. The moon grows stronger from day to day at the beginning of the month until the new moon in the middle of the month, and then begins the process of the moon becoming smaller. By the way, I promised you also a connection to Parashat Bereishit, which we had, of course, at the beginning of the year with Adam. David lives because of Adam. Adam's name stands for Adam, David, and Mashiach, which means that history at its very outset has a purpose. There's going to be a goal and an objective. Mankind is ultimately going to reach fulfillment. But there's something else in the Sedra. The sun and the moon are created. There's the Mor HaGadol, the big one, and then there's the little one. We're the little one. We're the little one. But there's something about this little one. It may disappear, but it will invariably, inevitably, always reappear. The Medrash Ve'el Shemot Rabba, the order is in a different way. Behu, Shekinu Yemot HaLavana B'Tosefet U'Prat K'neged Malchei Yehuda. Shahayu Behem. In other words, the waning and ebbing, the growth of the moon or its diminishing corresponds to the kings of Yehuda, because there were those Mishagogram al Khutam connected to Meato Sevet, there were kings whose kingdom grew stronger and stronger, and that represents the first half of the month. Umishachos, and those that grew weaker, connected to Mehabchad, the days of the month that the moon begins to decrease in size. Acheposka Hamalchut Lagamri, until it ended completely. And the moon disappeared. Kemoshe Yerel Alavona, just as happens to the moon. Shehimo Sefet Beholefet, Vachakach Pochetet, Acheshakat Lagamri. It gets bigger and continues to go until it begins to diminish and disappear. Vuhusha Darshu. That's why it says Achodesh Hazelachem, first mitzvah. Do we have another connection now to the parasha? If I would have said this at the beginning of this year, you would have been frightened that I'm going to give a political shiur. But I didn't say it at the beginning of this year. What is the first Rashi in Bereishis? Rav Yitzchak
said,
Lo hayot tzorich lahatil, the Torah should not have started only with Hachodesh Hazelachem, Shehi Mitzvah Rishonah, which is the first mitzvah that God gave. And why does it begin with Bereshit Bara? In order to tell you that the whole world belongs to God. He created it, and He gives it to whomever He wishes to give it. He gave Eretz Yisrael to the nations of the world, and then He took it from them, and He gave it to us. And it belongs to us. I know it's a subversive comment to make, but that's what Rashi says. Let them put Rashi in jail. Which means the following. There is a relationship between Bereishis and Achodesh HaZelachem, first mitzvah. Because Bereishis, Rashi says, Bishvil Yisrael, because of Israel, who are called Reishit Tzvato, we are God's great beginning. And because of Torah that is called Reishit, when does that Reishit begin? That Reishit begins at HaChodesh HaZelachem, when Klal Yisrael is forged into a nation and they're given the first mitzvah. In other words, the ultimate completion and conclusion and fulfillment of history, the Bereishis, is going to be fulfilled through the HaChodesh HaZeh, HaChodesh HaZelachem. This month shall be unto you the first of months. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, you should know, before God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, He told them that your kingdom is going to last for 30 generations, and then it's going to come to an end. When He gives them the first mitzvah of the new moon, what He's telling them is, you're going to have to be in a moon mode. There are going to be periods of growing greatness, and there are going to be periods during which there will be decline. There will even be periods of a total darkness descending upon the Jewish people. But you're going to make it. You've got to make it. So therefore he says, Halabana Shloshim Yom Umalchus Shlohen Shloshim Dor Halabana Matchelet Lahoyer Yom Vishon Shel Chodesh. The moon begins to light on the first, shed its light on the first day of the month. V'chol she'olechot u'me'ida, as it continues to light Atez Vavyom for 15 days. Diskus Shalom Ismale. The disk of the moon becomes full until it reaches the 15th, and that day it's completely full, and from there on and further it gets smaller. Kach Yisrael. He's going to make a different cheshbon now. The Medrash makes the cheshbon from Avram until Shlomo there were 15 generations, and from Shlomo until Tzidkiyahu there are going to be another 15 to the end of the month. The first 15 grew stronger and stronger. Avram was the great light that appeared upon the face of this earth, the great invention and the discovery of Avram, until the peak at Shlomo, and then begins the decline. I had said that at the beginning of this year that you should remind me something, and I remembered myself. I can't go through the rest of the Rabbeinu B'chai. It's an amazing Rabbeinu B'chai. Gewaldig. There are three Haftarot that are related to Rosh Chodesh. Why? One of them is Malka Chodesh, the one we're going to read this Shabbos. The second is the last chapter in Yeshayahu. That's going to be the one that you read on Shabbos that is Rosh Chodesh. And then for Parashat HaChodesh, you have a chapter in Yechezkel, chapter 45, middle of chapter 45. So I'll tell you what's fascinating is the following. If you read through these three chapters, one finds, you'll finish this Haftarah, Malka Chodesh, and you know what you'd be left with? A sense of not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. David flees off into the desert. Shaul is out to kill him. The chapter does not end with, and they lived happily ever after. The chapter of Malka Chodesh ends with a great question mark: what's going to happen to David? There are forces in the world that want to destroy him. If anything, it's an extremely depressing parak. His name is hardly mentioned. He becomes the pronoun lo. He becomes Ben Yishai. If his name is mentioned, you know, and it's mentioned by Yisosef David, David is hidden. Because the whole Haftorah represents the concealment of Malchus based David, with the hope that it will reappear someday. Because we're saying it on the last day of the month. The darkness of the moon has descended. When you come to the last chapter in Yeshayahu, which is the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Oy is not an upbeat perek. We are no longer in doubt. There is no longer darkness. All the light begins to come blasting through. Kol Amar Hashem, so says God, Hashemayim Kisi, the heavens are my throne, V'aretz Hadom Raglai. Oh, I have done this all. What beautiful things are said over here. He says, Mishoma Kazos, Mi Roke, ever heard anything of the sort? Whoever saw anything of this, like this? Hayuchal Eretz B'Yomachan, will a land and a state be established in one day, overnight, over the sudden? If Yivolet Goy Pamachan, can a nation be born in one single instant of time? Ki Cholo Ganyolda Tzion. Yes, Tzion is going to be born in a single instant of time. Hani Ashbir V'Lawil Olid, God says, am I going to carry in the womb and I'm not going to give birth? I carry Klal Yisrael, and I'm going to bring them here. Simchu et Yerushalayim V'gilu Bo, be happy and full of joy in Yerushalayim, Kol Ohavel, all who love her. Sisu Itom Asos Kol Amitav L'Malah, all who mourn for Yerushalayim, be happy. Well, is this a different story? This is a chapter that is full of light. Light is breaking out all over the place. And then, and even uses such words, the tisangem ziz kvoda, the shine of the beauty of Yerushalayim. Ke'ish asher imo tenachamenu, like a man whose mother consoles him, kein anochi anachemchem, I am going to console you, ubi Yerushalayim tenuchamu, and in Yerushalayim you will be consoled. It's an unbelievable, beautiful, beautiful perek. A perek that is all light. Because you know what that perek is? That's Rosh Chodesh. Macha Chodesh is darkness. Macha Chodesh ends with no resolution. We don't know what's going to be with David. We hardly know that he exists. By the way, in those two psukim, 5 and 18, David says, Hinei Chodesh Machor Bonochu Nochi Yashov Eishev Im Hamelech. I sit with the king. Yonatan says in the pasuk we begin the Haftorah with, Vayomer Lo Yonatan Macha Chodesh. And if Kadata, you're going to be missing King Pakei Moshe Vecha. You're not sitting with the king. David sees the ultimate. And Yonatan, who has to pave the way, the son of Rachel, who has to pave the way for the son of Leah. Wait. And more than that, while in the first half of the chapter, the one who acts, the one who plans, the one who decides, the one who takes the initiative is David, in the second half of the chapter, David is no longer the one who takes the initiative. He's not the one who makes the plans. The one who does, who acts, who decides, who plans, everything becomes Yonatan. We have to pave the way for David and for Moshiach ben David. The Haftorah of Shabbos HaKadosh, is a chapter in Yechezkel. The chapter in Yechezkel describes the time at which the third Beit HaMikdash will rise above the Temple Mount, and Jews in their masses are coming to bring sacrifices, and there is a Nasi, there is a king from the house of David. Do you understand how the three Haftarot take us from darkness to light to ultimate fulfillment of history? Bereshit, at the very beginning of God's creation of the world, it was not only a world that he brought into being, but he brought into being its history, which ultimately must include and must end with the fulfillment, the refinement, the completion, man rising to achieve his real potential. And there are many moments in history which it seems that man is falling lower and lower, but we believe Machar Chodesh. Now you know why I love that Haftarah? And I haven't scratched the surface yet of that Haftarah. Machar Chodesh also represents a beginning, a Bereshit. But you know what Machar Chodesh is? I'll say it's the following. Machar Chodesh, not related to Bereshit, but I'm relating it to Bereshit. The second pasuk in Bereshit is, V'hinei Choshech al Penei Tahal. There is darkness upon the world. Machar Chodesh is darkness upon the world. And then will come, then Elohim will say Yehi Or, and there'll be light. That's it.